The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent, is with me again, as is Gaila Cawley, City Hall reporter for the Boston Herald. You're both very, very welcome. And Gaila, thanks a million for popping into us. Jess, what did you get up to yesterday?
I had a great day. I'm so sad to be going home, Kieran.
You love the city.
I adore this city. I spent most of the day just walking around. The last time I spoke to you, I headed out to MIT, walked across the Charles River, just really embraced the architecture and the different feels of the different parts of Boston. Had a lovely little waddle around, found a few adorable bookshops, bought stuff that doesn't fit in my suitcase. That's a later problem. That's not a now problem. But I've just soaked it up as much as possible. It's a beautiful day. You mentioned the rain yesterday. It was torrential. It's absolutely gorgeous out there this morning. I went for a run first thing this morning because the jet lag is painful. And I don't know. I really, really, really don't want to go home.
You mentioned MIT, so I know we're going to talk about that in more detail later. Did you like it? Was it everything you hoped it would be? Never meet your heroes, they say.
Oh, it was incredible. Like, as I walked through, every single building is massive. And every single building is dedicated to a different type of research. The amount of biotech, medtech, pharmatech going on in that like square footage of the city is phenomenal. And it was like nerdy Christmas for me walking around there. I got to speak to some of the companies who are using AI to try and make advancements in biotech. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But if you're a nerd, if you're a dork, you absolutely need to come and have a walk around that part of town for sure.
Gaila Cawley, I say, is with us as well from the Boston Herald. Gaila, it's good to see you and thanks a million for joining us here in our studio in the AKA Boston Common in the hotel. So if I were to pick up the Herald today or kind of at the moment over the last few days and weeks, what are the kind of the burning issues in Boston?
Sure. Right now, the big issue is the mayor's commercial tax rate push. There was a report that came out that projected that Boston could be facing down a $1 billion shortfall in its budget in the next 5 years, driven by remote work, vacant office space, problem in Boston, other places as well. So to counter that, the mayor is having a proposal just to try to shift some of the residential tax rate over to the commercial rate, so tax businesses beyond what the state currently allows. And that would be a push for 4 years. So she needs to try to get that past the council, the city council and the state house.
So is the purpose behind it, is it to relieve individuals and households of some kind of tax burden, or is it to try and do something about kind of the vacancies and incentivize better use of those properties, or maybe it's both?
So she's saying that it's both. It's like a double-barreled approach. But right now, the state only allows you to tax businesses, commercial property, at a certain rate. So since those property values are declining, the rate is shifting more over onto residential just by virtue of how the split is allowed by the state. So residents could be facing projected tax increase 30 to 40% is what the report came out is saying. So they're trying to push that onto the businesses, but then you have the businesses saying, well, hey, there's all these vacancies right now. Everybody's working remotely. Mm-hmm. So now is not a good time.
How has that changed the city working from home? I mean, in the kind of post-COVID now in this world, like has a balance been struck? Is it certain days at home, certain days in the office? Certainly the Irish experience is kind of the two to three days in, 2 to 3 days at home.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so it's a mix. There's a lot of businesses that are fully remote, but there is that hybrid approach with businesses as well, that they're trying to get you back into the office more so lately, coming out of the pandemic. So 2 to 3 days in the office.
Jess, I know we're here with Ireland Gateway to Europe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk a bit about that later on. But I know from chatting to the guys, I mean, that has formed part of the conversations they've been having, not just here in Boston, but in Austin and Atlanta as well.
Yeah, what's really interesting is if you looked at the early part of the pandemic, a lot of the tech companies were the first to go, do you know what? Work is going to change. Well, we may never be back in the building again. You could work anywhere. You can do you. And they leaned into it because obviously that industry is so used to the work anywhere culture. But now you're seeing some of the big tech companies urging, begging and pleading with people to come back into the office. And it's proven quite difficult. If you look at the tech sector at the moment, yes, they had a really turbulent time where there was job cuts and so on in the early part of last year. But you know, the option and the opportunity to work remotely is now on people's list of requirements when they are shopping around for a new job. And people are walking away from gigs, high-paying gigs, if they have to be in the office 5 days a week. Mm. So this is causing a whole host of problems, because it's not just about the company where you work, but it's also impacting the local coffee shop and the local bookshop and where you get your sandwich on your lunch hour. And so our cities, and the cities that you've just mentioned here in the US, but also at home, they are absolutely changing. If you talk to, you know, the local deli, they will say the footfall is down on a Wednesday or up on a Friday or whatever it might be. And that is because of the work anywhere culture that has been implemented. But I find it really fascinating to watch some of the tech companies row back their views on that work anywhere culture. They want people back in the building.
Yeah, and I mean, to what extent is this a political issue, if at all, in this part of the world, Gayla? I mean, is this just something that businesses are being left with to deal with kind of themselves? In Ireland, they've introduced kind of policy guidelines. Everybody has been now kind of bestowed this right to request working from home. Now, we're arguably more kind of market interventionist than politics might be in the States. So is this something kind of politicians and politics leads to the business community?
So there is a city councillor, I think you had him on the other day, who is pushing for businesses to bring people back in person. Not so much businesses, but city hall employees, city workers, to try to get back to have that foot traffic downtown. Because there is the argument that, you know, there's an economic downturn, there's not as much shopping going on in the downtown, so you have that vacancy, people not working, and it's impacting businesses right now.
Yeah, you see that, and we have the same conversations in Ireland, and certainly, as Jess said, like businesses and delis and bookshops and whatever it happens to be in city centres where footfall is down. And the voice you often don't hear is the kind of the smaller businesses in towns and villages who do have people coming in on Mondays and Fridays when they didn't before, because mm-hmm. they are working from home. So, you know, some of that money is being spent. It's just being spent elsewhere. Maybe there's kind of a recalibration and a rebalancing happening. Can I ask, actually, because it came up in the context of a conversation we had yesterday as well, Gayla, about the mayor, about Michelle Wu. So we talked a little bit about cycle lanes, amongst other things, that there's kind of public pushback on. What's your sense of that debate and that argument?
Well, I mean, without giving, you know, my opinions, I leave that to the columnists, but I would say that there is a lot of support and opposition on both sides. You have the transit advocates saying that bike lanes are a way to improve pedestrian safety, make the roads safer for cyclists, people walking. But then you have the drivers saying that their side of the road is being taken away. So there is a big push to get people onto public transit in Boston, but there has been challenges with the public transit system. The MBTA had a big federal investigation a couple of years ago.
Public transit and public transport. I mean, we have been talking about Metro North, Dublin Metro Link, the metro to the airport.
Yep.
Friday, I'm like rubbing my head here. I mean, for like literally decades,
yep.
And it's probably another 15 years before it's going to become a reality as well. And then you walk a couple of hundred meters out of where we're broadcasting from here to the old State House, lovely little museum. I mentioned kind of revolutionary history, part and parcel of it. It's on this Freedom Trail. People often do those walking tours. And there's a little door at the side of the building, and it's actually a metro stop.
Yeah. So when I walked from MIT yesterday...
It's one of the earliest underground metros, certainly in the United States, but it's like the late 19th century. We
yeah.
can't build an overground one out to an airport.
In 2024. I was so struck as I said, I walked away to MIT. It was a 45-minute walk from where we are now. And I had multiple modes of transport at my disposal if I wanted to take public transport. I could have hired a bike. Like, I just feel like the infrastructure here is all connected. And obviously I walked because it was lovely and it was great to get the steps in. But I just think the efficiencies of cities like this fascinate me. The one thing I would say, though, with the cycle lanes, I am now allergic to electric scooters. When we were in Austin, How many times did we nearly fall over electric scooters that were just discarded on the footpath?
Well, I don't. I walk around without my head buried in my phone, Jess, so I watch where I'm going.
Such a judgy cow. But anyway, I nearly fell over them. And so that does worry me. If we start, you know, pushing people to embrace different types of mobility around the cities, if we're going to see more and more of these e-scooters, there has to be a level of common decency and a bit of cop on when it comes to where you leave them, because you don't want to ruin the walkability of a city like Boston with, you know, bikes for hire, scooters for hire, just chucked around the place.
Anyway, listen, we will come back to some of these issues, I'm sure, a little bit later in the show. The burning issue, though, all over the world today is the calibre of Taylor Swift's new album.
Oh, please.
Ah, Jess, what's no. the problem?
I've got many problems, okay? Number one, how many, like, does this woman not sleep? All she has done over the last few years is pump out albums, re-record albums, go on tours, making billions of dollars.
What's wrong with that?
Like, the biggest issue I have is that this album was so hyped up because of the breakup with the ex-boyfriend, right? And so loads of fans pre-ordered it. They were so excited. They were looking for Easter eggs. And then at 2 a.m. this morning, on the day of the release, where people had pre-ordered the album, the wagon wheel goes and announces that there's another version of the album already available. So it's now a double album. So if you paid your, whatever it was, $20 for the first iteration, now you could pay $38 and get the double album. I just feel like, and look, I respect what she does. I think she's very talented, great, and all the rest. But come on, give your fans a chance. I just feel like it is gouging the fans. Like, the cost of going to the Eras tour, the cost of the merch. I might
all right, get off the fence, Jess. Get off the fence.
It drives me insane.
Gayla, I mean, regardless of what people think of the album, she's just this massive cultural phenomenon, isn't she?
Yeah, she's everywhere. Like Beyonce, she's the big thing right now.
She absolutely is everywhere, not just here. She is all over this world. Jess has been very impartially getting the views of people on the street in Boston, getting their views of the album. Take a listen.
I'm just wondering if we have any Swifties in the
area. Right person.
Yes. Yes.
So what's your name?
Courtney. I'm actually Irish.
Are you?
My last name's O'Neill.
What part of Ireland?
I don't know.
Okay, great. We're only a small country. Yes. You're bound to be close. So Tay Tay's new album is out today.
Yes.
Are you excited?
I've already listened to it.
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
Well, tell me.
It's amazing. She has a song called The Alchemy that she actually wrote about Travis, just so everyone knows. So it's not just a breakup album.
But did you not get annoyed this morning at 2 a.m. when she announced that there's actually a double album?
So if you're annoyed? No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
I didn't find out till this morning, though.
Are you the kind of person who will buy every version of the album?
Buy, no, because I have Spotify Premium, so I don't have to buy it, but I did pre-order the original version of this album.
Okay. And have you been to the Eras tour?
No. Couldn't afford it.
But okay, this is my issue, right? So I'm annoyed because Taylor brings out 75 different versions of every album, so every fan has to go and buy it. And then they have to go buy expensive tickets for the Eras tour. Does she make it difficult for a fan to be a fan?
I would argue that get it where you can get it. She can make as much money as she wants to. And if people are going to pay for it, let her do it. And as far as the concert goes, as far as I understand, the artist doesn't set the prices, the venues do. So it's not up to her.
Oh, you're a proper Swiftie.
I am.
I'm not going to win this argument.
I will defend her to my dying breath.
And tell me, as you've listened to the album, how does it stack up to her previous work?
I think for me, it's one of those albums that I'm going to have to listen to a few times. It's not like an immediate hit for me, to be honest.
Wow.
But it might be one of those that like has to grow on you a little bit.
All right, listen, we take our responsibilities around impartiality very seriously on this show. So after Jess's awful traducing of Taylor Swift and her contribution to world culture and musical culture, we're going to have to speak to a Swiftie, I think, to get balance a little bit later on. One of Boston's own Swifties will be joining us after 6 o'clock. In the meantime, Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent, thank you again. Gayla Cawley, City Hall reporter for the Boston Herald. Gayla, thanks a million. For coming into us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.